Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Dick Taylor is back with us today. Welcome, Brother Dick.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dick, this is our next to the last program on the book of Acts, and we're looking at the incredible events in chapter 28. I'd love to read the whole chapter to our listeners, but for the sake of time, Dick, maybe you would just summarize this portion for us.
Well, this is a tremendous section. He just finished this real, real long voyage where he's made the owner, he's made the life guarantor, and even he's made the comforter to all the people who are on the ship. Now he's, in this chapter, he comes to the island of Malta. And there, first they think he is a murderer. Then, by a miraculous deed through the Lord, they think he's God. They think he is a god, superstitiously. Then he goes on from Malta to the city of Three Inns. Eventually, brothers heard about him. They come to meet him. And he's really, really encouraged by the brothers. And ultimately, he's brought to Rome. All the Jews originally who were opposing him never wanted him to get to the Gentile world. But here, by his being a prisoner, he's taken all the way to the heart of the Gentile world. What a shame to the enemy. In Rome, right away, he contacts the Jewish leaders, and he gives them his testimony of all that he'd been through and how the Lord had led him to that very point. Then this chapter ends with him in Rome in a rented room of his own, having absolute freedom. And he was remaining and proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching all the things concerning Jesus Christ. What an awesome chapter this is, and what an ending to the book of Acts. It ends with Paul in full freedom in the city of Rome, the heart of the Gentile land, dispensing Christ as life for the building up of the kingdom of God on this earth. Isn't this wonderful?
This is wonderful, Dick. It reminds me, particularly as you touch this matter of the kingdom, of how we began the life study of Acts and what we saw as the subject matter of the entire book. And I think before we're finished today, we'll see the whole package tied up and presented by God to his people in this marvelous unveiling of the book of Acts. Let's join Witness Lee with the first portion of our life study.
In chapter 28, the natives showed much kindness to them. At this time, they set a fire in what called for these poor escapees. And Paul picked up some sticks, and there was a snake hidden. And that snake, touched by the heat, he became quite active. It must be very poisonous. However, Paul didn't care for this. He just shook his hand, and the snake was off. Firstly, the natives thought this must be a murderer. Now they say, this one must be a god. The apostle was not a god in the superstition of the curious natives, but he expressed in his living and ministry the very true God, who in Jesus Christ had gone through the processes of the incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection, then living in him and through him as the all-inclusive spirit. Our daily living, in whatever situation, it should be what? The expression of the very Christ whom we preach. We preach incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ as the all-inclusive spirit. I have the full boldness to say, when Paul was on that island, he lived such a Christ, because this is fully proven by his word in Philippians 1. That's our life. I don't care. But I have to live Christ, and I have to magnify him So what Paul is doing here is a kind of magnification of the very Christ and the life-giving Spirit lived by him. This was Paul's living, and his living was the all-inclusive Spirit as the very consummation of the incarnate, crucified, resurrected, and God-exalted Christ. So from here, something happened further, and they found out the leader of that island, he was sick of dysentery. Then Paul went in to him and prayed for him, and Paul cured him. Then this news went out, my goodness, this king becomes the top magic physician. He became a savior to the island. So they brought all the sick ones to him, and everybody got healed. In the storm, the Lord had already made the apostle not only the owner of his fellow voyagers, but also their life guarantee and comforter. Now, on the island in peace, the Lord made him further not only a magical attraction in the eyes of the superstitious people, but also a healer and joy to the native people. All during his long and unfortunate imprisonment voyage, the Lord kept the apostle in his ascendancy and enabled him to live a life far beyond the realm of anxiety, but fully dignified with the highest standard of human virtues, expressing the most excellent divine attributes, a life that resembled the one that he himself had lived on earth years before. This was Jesus living again on the earth in his divinely enriched humanity. Amen. This was the living witness of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and God-exalted Christ. Amen. Paul, in his voyage, lived and magnified Christ. No wonder the people honored him and his companions with many honors, that is, the best respect and the highest regard.
Dick, what an incredible environment that God set up for the Apostle Paul. In reality, it was the perfect setting for Paul to become a display. You mentioned earlier the natives thought that he was a god by now because of this miracle. While we certainly know that he wasn't a god, we are seeing him reigning as a king and as the living expression of the God. Explain this, Dick.
I really like, again, and would like to recommend all the listeners of this Life Study program to get a recovery version of the Bible. And if you could read the footnote in this chapter 28, footnote 6-1, you would really enjoy it. This answers the question very well, Chris. The apostle was not a god in the superstition of the curious natives, but he expressed in his living and ministry the true God, who in Jesus Christ has gone through the processes of the incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection, and who was then living in Paul and through him as the all-inclusive Spirit. So he was not a god, as these natives thought, in a superstitious way, but he was one with God by being filled with God's life. He was so one with God in the person of Christ, that whatever he did, God was doing. This is the more accurate view of him here, not a God in a superstitious way, but really God himself being expressed through Paul and acting in oneness with Paul. So Paul, by being one with the Lord in life, was really the acting God, and as you said, a king. Here he was actually reigning in the divine life by being one with the unique King, Jesus Christ.
Dick, let's go back. We've got another very enjoyable section from Witness Lee just ahead.
After treatment, we put out to sea in an Alexandrian sea. And having landed at Syracuse, we remained there 3 days. From there, we sailed around and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind came on. And the second day, we came to Pitiali, where we found brothers. And thus, we came to Rome. And from there, the brothers, having heard things concerning us, came to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And when we entered into Rome, Paul was permitted to remain by himself with the soldiers guarding him. The warm welcome of the brothers from Rome and the loving care of those in Puteoli show the beautiful body life in the early days among the churches and apostles. This life was a part of the heavenly kingdom life on the Satan-darkened and man-inhabited earth. Apparently, the apostle, as a prisoner in bonds, had entered the area of the dark capital of the Satan-usurped empire. Actually, as the ambassador of Christ with his authority, he had come into another part of the participation in his church's body life in the kingdom of God on earth. When Paul saw the brothers, he had the feeling he just entered into the kingdom of God to enjoy the church life. While he was suffering the persecution of religion in the empire of Satan, he was enjoying the church life in the kingdom of God, which was a comfort and encouragement to him. Then he was there in Rome, and his desire was fulfilled. The Judaizers was frustrating him from going to the Gentiles. Now the Lord sovereignly brought him to Rome to enter into the Gentile world, even into the capital of the entire Roman Empire. I do believe Paul had a kind of happiness.
Dick, I thought this was a very tender point. I like this a lot. Despite Paul's bonds and chains, the sovereignty of God that brought him to the capital of the Gentile world had to give him great happiness. His being brought to Rome against the backdrop of the frustration of the Judaizers was not an insignificant matter in God's move in his New Testament economy, was it?
It certainly was not an insignificant matter, because the Jews were always trying to restrain him. For sure, they did not want him to touch the Gentiles with the gospel of Christ, with the kingdom of God. Yet in their attempt to even kill him, he appeals to Caesar, and he ends up, through a long process, as a prisoner in the heart of the Gentile, Satan-corrupted world. There he is, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. So the Judaizers had tried to frustrate him from going to the Gentiles, but the Lord sovereignly brought Paul to Rome. It was a great matter in the ancient times to make a journey from Jerusalem to Rome. I was checking a map today. It must have been 1,200 to 1,400 miles. That's a long way with that kind of travel. But the Lord brought Paul to the capital of the Roman Empire. Paul must have been full of joy when he arrived in Rome. Outwardly he was in bonds, but inwardly he was full of glory and unspeakable joy, because he had been made a minister to the Gentiles, even into the heart of the Gentile land. We have to thank the Lord that under his sovereignty, Paul was led to Rome to proclaim the kingdom of God in the heart of the Gentile world, right in that satanic city of Rome. What a blessing, what a mercy, and all the glory goes to the Lord for his sovereign leading.
Dick, this has to be an encouragement to all of us as believers. Many of us find ourselves in a modern worldly situation where we live or work or have to carry on our day-to-day activities, and we may feel much the same. This is the center of a capital of extreme darkness. But the Apostle Paul brought the word and brought the testimony, was really became the testimony of God's light piercing through and cutting through that darkness. We need to be inspired in a similar way, don't we, Dick?
We sure do. Let's face it. Today, even in America, every city we're in is just like Rome. And all these cities need to hear the good news of the kingdom of God. Even when I consider the university campuses, Chris, this is surely a place. Many atheists are there teaching atheism and all kinds of satanic and godless things. May the Lord have his way even in this country so that the Lord could have such a testimony as he had through Paul. I myself would certainly like to be a reproduction of the Lord, just as Paul was. Not in the same degree, surely, but in any way that we possibly could. We'd surely like to be the Lord's reproduction in all of these cities so that the Lord could have the testimony of Jesus, the kingdom of God in this dark age.
Well, Dick, we have one more program on the life study of Acts, but we're going to hear in this last section today a kind of concluding word by Witness Lee.
Right away, he called in the Jews. He called in the Jewish leaders and told them things. Then you have to realize there was a real strengthening of the church in Rome because a good number of the Jews got saved. He brought a good number in the church in Rome, and then a good number of Jews rejected him. So he gave them the final word, the parting word. That is, in 25, Paul having said one word, the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to your fathers, saying, go to these people and say, hearing you will hear, and by no means understand, and seeing you will see, and by no means perceive, for the heart of this people has grown fat. Let it be known to you, therefore, that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear. God the Father spoke this word to the stubborn children of Israel in Isaiah, at Isaiah's time. God the Son, Christ, quoted this word to the rejecting Jews in Matthew at the time when the Lord was on this earth. And now, God the Spirit, through the apostle here in Rome, repeated this word again to the hard-hearted people. This indicates that in all the most of the divine Trinity, the children of Israel were disobedient to the God of grace. At Isaiah's time, the Father, at Christ's time, the Son spoke. Now, at Paul's time in Rome, the Spirit spoke to the disobedient people. Then he turned to the Gentiles for the carrying out of his New Testament economy in the spreading of his kingdom for the building up of the churches through the propagation of the resurrected and ascended Christ. Then he remained there 2 years in his own rented dwelling and welcomed all those coming in to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, that is the propagation of the resurrected Christ, teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness unhindered. How do we know proclaiming the kingdom of God was the propagation of the resurrected Christ? Because in the following, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can see the kingdom and God goes together with the things concerning the Lord Jesus. And this means to teach people the things concerning Christ is to spread the kingdom of God. So actually, the kingdom of God is just a propagation of the resurrected Christ.
Dick, in the beginning early programs of this life study of Acts, we spent a good amount of time on the subject of the book, which is, and I hope I get it right, the propagation of the resurrected Christ in ascension by the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches, the kingdom of God. Now, Dick, at the conclusion of the book of Acts, how do we see the practical working out of this mystical propagation?
Well, we see it in Paul's being in this rented dwelling in Rome. And there he is. I like these words. He remained there 2 years. His remaining was for his proclaiming. And his proclaiming was his teaching. He was there proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things of Jesus Christ. As you mentioned, the central thought of the book of Acts is the propagation of Christ for the producing of his kingdom through the churches. And it's really good to see that the kingdom is not a material thing, but the kingdom of God is really something of the divine life. It's the spreading of Christ as life to his believers to form a realm in which God rules in his life. I like that. So Paul was there as a person who was one with the Lord in life. His proclaiming the kingdom of God was his propagation of Christ. We know this by the second half of verse 31. In fact, let me just read the whole verse. It says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness unhindered. What does this mean? This means that the proclaiming of the kingdom is matched by the teaching of the things of Jesus Christ. So, to be proclaiming the kingdom and to be teaching the things of Jesus Christ indicated Jesus Christ was being propagated through his teaching. That means the very one who is the divine life was being released and propagated into humanity. So something wonderful was happening in the city of Rome. The kingdom of God was being produced through this marvelous proclaiming and this wonderful teaching of this dear person. The propagation of Christ was transpiring. We know this because he was teaching Christ. So teaching Christ is propagating Christ. Anytime Christ, the one who was incarnated, crucified, resurrected, ascended, and poured out as the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit, the victorious one, the wonderful one, the all-inclusive one, anytime he is being proclaimed and taught, then that means he's also being propagated into humanity. The propagation of Christ into man as life is what issues in the kingdom of God. As we've mentioned before, the kingdom's not a material, physical realm, but the kingdom is just the King himself, who today is the resurrected and ascended, life-giving King, dispensing himself through his believers, through his disciples, into people whom we could say are the dumb. And this is the King making himself at home in the dumb to produce the kingdom. So the kingdom was being produced in the city of Rome through Paul's teaching this marvelous Jesus Christ, this life-giving King, and propagating him as life into all the listeners. Some didn't want to hear and they left, but others heard and with joy received the good news. So this was the spreading of the kingdom of God. This was the propagation of the resurrected and ascended Christ through his disciples for the producing of the churches, which is the kingdom of God.
The King is within us, and we are now fully in and part of his kingdom. Well, Dick, I'm going to miss our times together in the book of Acts. This has been a sincere joy of mine and a real mercy from the Lord to have the chance to come together in fellowship. So we'll look to see you again very soon.
I look forward to being with you.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.